What an appropriate song to have before introducing Michael, because every time we sing it, I think of the two of us going to Washington, D.C. for the National Day of Prayer, riding a slightly over the speed limit, and I would keep thinking, the heavens beckon me from heaven's open door. If you're a visitor, we ride motorcycles. I apologize for that. One of the things also that I need to bring to your attention is after we're through, there will be a table out at the back, and it will have on it things from Africa that have been made by the people there. Kathy brought some back. Doris brought some back, and these are not free gifts. We're not charging for them, but leave something to help the work in Africa if you're going to pick something up there. They asked me if I could introduce Michael Fortson. I told him I wanted to be very careful because I expect him to speak sometime during my funeral, and I don't want him to have the last word. Michael and I were friends, brothers, and associates for 25 years here. I used to think about traveling when I'm going along the road, what I would say at his funeral. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. So he just keeps being healthy. But what I would say is that he is a man in whom there is no guile. I know you know that from the scriptures. We worked together for all those years, and to the best of my memory, never had a cross word. And a great deal of that was because he didn't say anything about what I was doing. Michael and Doris started out their life together as far as missionaries in Africa. Now they're finishing these closing days of life back in Africa, doing a fantastic work. They looked for something really good that they needed in Africa, and the care of very small babies was a very large issue there. Most of the orphans' homes would not take them. They're too expensive. They require too many people. So Michael and Doris decided they would take on the impossible. They've done that. With the help of God, they continue to do that. I just want you to know that there are no two people in the world I respect more. Michael, for his gentleness with me, and Doris, for the energy she put into both of us as we work together. Michael.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. You know, we spent 30 years here in Nacogdoches at the Yellow House. Really good times. So we feel like we're just coming home when we come back here. We're among friends and we're among family. And it's always a pleasure. And I just want to begin by saying thank you very much. Thank you for all that you have done to support our work in Tanzania. And, you know, I was reflecting about that and thinking, you know, what the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, when he talked about the work which he did, he said, you were the only church that supported us in this work. And he's saying that they not only did it once, they did it twice, and they did it again. So he was thankful for those Philippians for what they did. And he said, I don't want to say this, you know, for any reason except I want you to have the reward of the blessing that you have bestowed. And that's the way we feel. 3 years ago, I went to Tanzania and left Doris here, and I went to establish what we now call Naema House, our effort to help orphaned and abandoned babies in Arusha, Tanzania. And before I left, you know, I had a vision of what I would do. I was going to go there. I was going to find some property. We were going to build a building. We were going to start helping orphans, you know, it was just going to fall into place. So I sent a message to the elders here and said, you know, we're going to need to buy some property. I think we can buy this property for $60,000. Can you help us? So they said, we're going to give you a challenge. We're going to pledge $30,000 if you can raise $30,000, then you'll have your $60,000 for this property. Well, I left for Africa not having any money, but with a promise. They said, we're going to give you till the end of the year to raise this $30,000, then we'll match it. You know, and so I started writing letters. We started making phone calls. We started asking people to help us, you know. And I think about in August, we came up with $30,000. And so North Street gave us $30,000. And we had that beginning for what we needed in Tanzania. And I guess you could say the rest is history. But the Lord has just blessed this and He's opened the doors. So I have a tremendous debt of gratitude toward you. You've been our encouragers and our helpers all along the way. Not just once, but twice and three times, and I'm sure even more than that. And so God bless you. We thank you. We thank you very, very much. As I mentioned to someone in the foyer, we're not getting any younger. I'm 72 years old now. Not quite as old as Bill Sherrill. Who knows who's going to preach whose funeral. You know, we live day to day, and we're just thankful for the energy that God gives us. But some of you remember when I first came here and I had hair, okay? That's gone long ago. Both Doris and I now wear hearing aids, you know, and we have to have corrective lenses. Well, you know, God has blessed me with the ability to read without glasses most of the time. But my ophthalmologist told me last year, he said, your vision is getting better. It's 20/70 now. And I said, the bigger the number, the better, isn't it? You know? So as you well know, that's not very good. So most of you all are just kind of a blur out there. All right. You've heard the story about the group of senior citizens sitting around discussing their ailments. You know, and one said, you know, my arms are so weak, I can hardly hold this cup of coffee. Another one said, well, my cataracts are so bad, I can't even see that cup of coffee. You know, another one said, my neck is so stiff from this arthritis, I can hardly turn it. Another one said, oh, in my blood pressure pills, they just make me dizzy all the time. They sat there and said, well, you know, that's just the price of getting old. And finally, one popped up and said, but thank God, at least we can still drive. That's kind of the way we are. At least we can still drive. And that's good because we've been doing a lot of driving lately. We were in Nacogdoches last weekend. Some of you saw our picture in the paper. We didn't know that was going to happen, but that's really great. You know, God has opened that door for us. And we'll have to go back to Temple this afternoon, go to Austin Monday night. Then Tuesday I drive to Houston and fly off to Africa again. And so, we're thankful that we can still do those kinds of things. Well, I'm going to talk to you some about what God is doing in Africa. And as you know, we established Naima House 3 years ago. And God has blessed us with being able to care for a lot of babies there. And we just are thankful for that and thankful for your participation. Doris told me not to start out with a sad picture, so I wanted to show you this picture. You know, this is a recent photo of some of our babies. Can we see it? Am I in the way? Tell me. Okay. All right. All right. Turn the lights down in the front. All right. There we go. So these are some of our older babies, our little girls. Doris calls this a bevy of beauties. All right. So that's what we're starting out with. We want you to know that we have some beautiful babies there. And they don't always come in very beautiful, but before long, they're well-fed and well-clothed and well-cared for, and that's what our goal is. And our goal, of course, is not to keep these babies, but to have them in a forever home. We try to find homes for them, either one of their extended family members to take them home or to find an adoptive family. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. Well, Curtis told me I needed a slide to kind of start out things, and so this is my opening slide, really. And our scripture that I've taken from this is Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. You know, that's the passage where Jesus talks about the final judgment. And, you know, I guess who's going to be in heaven and who's not going to be in heaven. And he talks about feeding the hungry and taking care of the sick and visiting those who are in prison and all of that. And he says, inasmuch as you've done this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And that phrase has really struck with me. One of the least of these, you know. And, you know, when we start talking about going to heaven, you know, there's lots of things that we can think about. The criteria that Jesus used for who's going to go to heaven and who's not going to go to heaven, it was not about doctrinal purity, you know, even though that's good and important. And it was not about how often you pray. It was not about how often you attend church. It was not how good of a person you were. But the criteria he used was, did you help those who were in need? Did you help the least of these? And how important that is. And I know that this congregation is concerned with that. It has been all along, from the beginning of the Harvest House and other ministries that we've had. You've always reached out to the poor. But that's such an important thing for all of us to keep in mind. And it's not just what is your church doing. What are we doing collectively? What are you doing as an individual? You know, we're not going to be judged as a church. We're going to be judged. We're going to stand before God and be judged as individuals. So have we done it unto the least of these? And when I started thinking about that, when I started thinking about the heart of God and about how he reaches out to those in need, I've had to think about this picture here. Because this picture to me represents one of the least of these. This is a Maasai woman who we helped with her babies. Her name is Naha. And she comes from a very remote Maasai village. We discovered her when we were in that area helping some others. And we discovered that she was kind of an outcast. She was living kind of on the outside of the village and no one was really helping her. And her husband is somewhere off trying to earn a living and then she hasn't seen him in a long time. And but she was here with her children and she had twins who were newborn. And they were very, very small and they were very, very weak. So it was decided to bring Naha and her babies into the city of Arusha, where we live, and take them to the hospital, care for them, and then bring them to the Naema house and care for them. So that's what we did. I'm not going to take a long time to tell this story, but the larger of the two twins, the little girl, didn't make it. She died. She got pneumonia, went into the hospital, and in one day she was gone. So here she is left with the little boy, and you can see how fragile he looks. Her children have a syndrome that is a very rare syndrome called Bell syndrome. They are deformed in a certain way. Their hands are closed and their thumbs are bent over, and it's an unusual and difficult thing. But this was a family that needed some help, you know. And this to me was one of the least of these. But I want you to see what Elisha, the little boy, looks like now and how he has improved. I love the before and the after photos, and that's really what this is. And this is part of what Naema House is doing, caring for these little babies that are totally helpless and have no one to turn to. Had we not intervened, Elisha would also be dead. But this story has kind of a silver lining, I guess you'd say, because as we ministered to them in Naema House, we got to talking with Naha and she didn't speak Swahili, didn't speak English, she only speaks the Maasai language, but through one of our nannies, we did some interpretation. We asked her, did she know who Jesus was? She says, well, I've heard about Jesus, but I really don't know him. What did he do or anything? So we started teaching her. And over a period of a few days, she said, when I'm baptized, I will follow after Jesus. And so we were able to take her to a safari lodge and baptize her into Christ. And so we're reaching out to the helpless and the poor, in both physically and spiritually. I want you to know that. This is the front of Naema House. Many of you have seen this picture before. These are some of our volunteers who are there. We're getting ready to go for a walk. We do this every day. We walk through the neighborhood, and the neighbors see us, and they wonder what we're doing. They are complimentary about what we do. Some of our neighbors are Muslims and Hindus, and they come and they see what we're doing in the name of Christ, and they're not only complimentary, they make contributions to help us there. I'm going to have to ask my wife to help me a little bit. This is one of our newest babies, Patricia. She just came to us last week. Her story is that her mother was not able to care for her. And I'm not sure exactly the circumstances, but this happens very frequently in Tanzania. When a mother can't care for a baby, they'll often just lay it down and walk away. Fortunately, this one sought some help, and so we have Patricia with us now, and she's a beautiful little baby. This is our most recent baby. Just about 2 days ago, Noreen came to us. Noreen's mother passed away, and Noreen's mother had HIV, and so she died. Noreen has come to us. She's 11 months old and weighs 8 pounds. So she's severely malnourished. Not only that, she also is HIV positive. On top of that, she has pneumonia now and is in the hospital. We want you to be praying for this baby. Our doctor has said, this is going to be a tough one. We don't know whether she'll make it. So pray for Noreen. Well, here's what Name a House is really all about. It's about adoptions. It's about finding forever families for these babies that God has brought to us. And this is Deborah. Deborah, an abandoned baby. And she was with us for a period of time, but we found a Tanzanian family, Christian family, who could adopt her. This is Matt and Kelly Erdman and their little girls, you know, handing Deborah over to her new mom. And we're so happy to be able to do that. This just thrills our hearts. This is our goal to happen. I want to show you a few pictures of where our first baby came from. Most of you know our first baby is named Frankie. Frankie's a great little character. Everyone who comes to Name a House falls in love with Frankie. But Frankie comes from a remote Messiah village. And we started helping that family because he was one of a set of triplets. And Mom didn't have enough milk to feed him. So we started taking food there. But this is that particular village. The women from this village still walk about 5 miles a day to get water. Thanks to Doris Johnson and others, within the next month, we hope to be doing a borehole in this village. And we expect to strike a good source of water and provide this village and the surrounding villages with a good source of drinking water. So we're so appreciative of that. This will be a life-changing thing for these people in Frankie's village. They also have to walk a long ways to carry wood for cooking. You know, this is still a primitive type of living, something most of us cannot even imagine. Here's Kathy with a grandmother, as a matter of fact, Frankie's grandmother, in that village. And so Kathy has visited this village several times, and she knows the conditions there. And here we are with Frankie's family, his mom, his dad, his grandmother, his triplet sisters and the orange there, and his half-brother Meshach, you know, and we support this family and continue to take food to them. We want to send the girls to school, so we're looking for people to help us to be able to do that. When we first got Frankie was 6 months old and weighed 5 pounds. Frankie was very, very ill. We had gone out to take food and formula to the family, and we discovered how ill he was and that he might not survive, so we took him to the hospital. The doctors examined him, put him in the hospital for about 17 days, and he has come to stay at Naima House. And I wanted to show you this picture because this is the house that Frankie was living in. Frankie and his siblings, there were six siblings altogether, mom and dad and a baby calf, all living in this great house that you see here. So I want you to know the conditions that he came from. We're talking about poor conditions. And we're talking about the least of these. But here's Frankie today. And Frankie was ready to go to church. We dressed him up, and he had the Bible in his hand and ready to get in the car and go to church. We visit churches every Sunday. We take babies with us, and we hold them up in front of the congregations and say, this is so-and-so, and they are looking for a new mom and dad. And if you're interested in helping us with that, we would love to talk with you. And God has blessed that ministry. So we're being proactive in what we do with that. This is another one going to church. This is Caroline Sue. And we took her to church. Caroline Sue has also been adopted. Isn't that great? Here's our daughter Rebecca with little Maxine. Maxine came to us as a premature baby, about 2 pounds. We almost lost her. And our daughter Rebecca, who is an EMT, was able to breathe for her for over an hour. And the baby survived. And here is Maxine today. And Maxine has also been adopted by a great family. Here we have Dorothy. Baby Dorothy was abandoned in a gravel pit as a just born. I'm correct, am I not? Okay. At 72, my forgetter is working pretty good here. Okay, so I need a little help and a little prompting. So Dorothy was abandoned in a gravel pit. You know, the placenta and umbilical cord were still attached, newborn, but she was found, came to Naam House after being in the hospital for a few days, and I want you to see Dorothy today. And I think Dorothy is still looking for a mom and dad. Here's Philip. Philip came to us after being abandoned at the hospital. And here's Philip today. And here we have Christopher. Christopher was abandoned on the side of the road. He was covered in black dirt. And here we have Baraka. Baraka has been adopted by a European family that lives in Tanzania right now. Baraka was abandoned in a house. His diaper was stuck to his bottom and had to have help getting that cut off. All of our babies have a tragic story, or we wouldn't have them. And that's the absolute truth. They've all lost a mom. And so they need someone to help them. This is baby Innocent. Innocent was abandoned in a pit latrine. He was left floating in a pit latrine. Maggots were in his ear, but someone was able to get him out. And he is now being fostered. And here we have Kathy, all right. Kathy, another abandoned baby. Kathy is someone in this congregation, I've forgotten exactly who, is helping support Kathy. And so all right, Kathy, all right. And this is Dawson. Dawson, also an abandoned baby, and is being supported by someone here at North Street. So we really appreciate that. Here's some of the statistics you might like to see. We've had, all together, from the beginning until now, we've helped 73 babies. We've helped, I can't read. Help me with this, because I can't read it. You would think that I would make provisions for that, but I haven't. All right. So 31 currently at Naam House, right now, 31, all right. And 14 adoptions and 16. Okay, you can read. You don't have to read that for you. All right. So we also help babies who are not at Naam House. We have a number of babies that we help, what we call off campus. You know, how much better if a baby is really in need, but if we can keep them in their home and help them, isn't that better? So here's twins who were born in a Messiah village. We're surrounded by Messiah villages, by the way. This is an area of a lot of Messiah people. So the mothers simply did not have enough milk to feed these babies, and we go out every month and provide food and powdered milk for this family. This is another one. Here's Kathy with the mother of Omari. Omari came and was at Naam House for a period of time, and we cared for him because the mother was incapable of doing it. It was finally determined that she could take the baby back, But we are helping and supplementing that. But this is Omari's home. Kathy went to take Omari and his mom back home. And this is where we found that she lived. I mean, the house has holes in it. The roof has holes in it. But this is where she lives. We're wanting to be able to do something more for this family. And I want to tell you that in the near future, Naima House, as we develop our new property, we will be building a mothering center. And the mothering center will be specifically for mothers like Omari's mother, who's standing next to Kathy. And we will have classes where people can learn skills and be educated in how to run a small business of their own and encouraged to develop a business. When we started talking with Omari's mom about what would you do if you had an opportunity, how would you like to start a business, she had no concept of that. She'd never thought about could I do anything that would bring in some money that would help support me and my family. She had never even thought about that. But after a period of time, she said, well, maybe I could do hair. So then they started talking about, well, what would you need if you wanted to have a business to do hair? You'd need a place, you'd need some scissors, you'd need some combs, blah, 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 And so she just started thinking about that. So that's the kind of thing we want to be able to do to help these mothers, because as Doris says almost every time she talks, the babies are not really the problem. The babies are the result of the problem. The problem is poor and uneducated and desperate mothers who don't know what to do with a baby. So if we can help that, we can help this whole problem. It's just part of the whole goal that we have for Naima House. So here's our staff at Naima House. As you well know, with 31 babies in one house, that's a lot of babies and a lot of diapers. It takes a lot of people to handle that. We have 32 full-time staff members. We have a lot of nannies, over 20 nannies. We have cooks and cleaners and drivers and guards and house cleaners, and we have a lady that does nothing but wash diapers all day. As you can well imagine, we need to do that. So we don't know how this happens. As you well know, Doris, this is not Doris and I. We're not the well-known people who can pick up the phone and call someone influential and say, "Can you give me $1 million to help this situation here?" No, we depend on God to do this. This is God's work. This is what God has done. And God has opened the doors, and God is making the provision month by month to provide the formula and the food and the transportation and the needs of our babies at Naima House. We have a lot of great volunteers at Naima House, like Hattie Wasserman. Hattie, I can't remember your last name, but Hattie. And so she was there. And our volunteers, when they come to Naima House, they fall in love with these babies. And you can tell that that's what's happening right here. You can't come and spend time there without it touching your heart and changing your life. This is a young couple that came from Belgium last summer. She is a teacher. He's a young med student ready to be a doctor. And they're holding two of our abandoned babies. They came in one day, and when Doris was ready to teach a Bible class to the nannies, and they said, "We've never been to a Bible class. Can we come?" And so, of course, we invited them in. And what we've discovered is that God has opened another door for us to minister to volunteers from all around the world. Last year, we had over 100 volunteers from 22 different countries. And what a ministry that has become. God has just opened more doors. This is a group of Aggies for Christ that are currently at Naima House. And as you can see, they're all holding babies. The guys, that didn't really come to hold babies. They came to do some construction work. So we're taking them out to our building site, and they're getting to have some hands-on with building and things like that. So that suits them well. But you just can't come to Naima House without holding a baby. And so here they are, and we're so thankful for that. We've had students from the Worldwide Witness Program at ACU, and we've had Harding students and Oklahoma Christian students, and now we have Aggies for Christ involved. And we're thankful for all who come and who volunteer and who help. Not only do volunteers provide a help for Naima House, but they receive something in return. they receive a blessing because of what they're doing. This is our daughter Rebecca. As you know, Rebecca is currently at Nahum House, and she has moved there. She plans to spend a lot of years there. So she's helping with the small babies here, but as you also probably know, she recently broke her ankle. It was a very bad break, and I went back to Tanzania just last month to help her through the surgery and all of that. I wanted to show you this picture. This is her surgeon, and this is the hospital conditions that you see, the paint peeling off the walls and what have you. I'm able to report that the care she received was good care. The facilities were very dated and very questionable. But she got through that, and she is recovering now. I'm taking back an orthopedic boot with me when I go on Tuesday. And, you know, we hope within a couple of months that she'll be completely recovered from that, continue on with her work there. All right. This is I may have shown this picture to you in the fall, but this is the property which you helped purchase. It's a hillside property facing Mount Meru, the fifth tallest mountain in Africa. It's a beautiful, scenic piece of property, almost 10 acres that God has just blessed us with. And so we're so thankful for that, and we are beginning to develop this right now. This is the first thing that we actually built on that property. This was about 2 months ago. We had a foundation that contributed us about $15,000 for us to buy an auxiliary generator to power our mission there. And so we were able to get that, get it delivered. We had a slab poured for that, bolted it down, went out with some of the children to take pictures of it all. And after I left a month and a half ago, then they completed the building around that generator. So this is actually our first house at the new Nahum Village. And most of our houses will be something similar to this. They'll have a green metal roof, and they'll be made out of cement. And we have that underway already. Here's the foundation that is already out of the ground for our widow's home. As I tell people, we are a James 127 ministry. We are wanting to help orphans and widows. And so this is going to be the new widow's home. And the foundation is up, and that will be completed soon. Here's an interesting thing. Here's the container. I'm sure you heard a lot about the container. I'm sure Marty Ellis probably bugged you all a lot about, let's fill up this container for Nahum House. And that was back in January. We're so thankful for Marty Ellis and all of you who contributed things to fill up this container. There's an interesting story about this container. You know, after months of finally got to the property, as you can well see, and this crane followed that container all the way up the mountain and got ready to offload it. And then they discovered that we had a 7-ton crane and a 10-ton container. And so only in Africa, you know. So it took a day for them to kind of think this through and say, how are we going to get that container unloaded from this truck and put it on the place where it's supposed to be? And so finally, after a lot of discussion and effort, as you can see, what they did was they unloaded part of the container. And so we have things all over the ground there. And finally, late in the day, they were able, as you can see, the truck is leaning pretty good there. They were able to lift the container and get it put where it's supposed to. And then they had the task of trying to put the things back in, because we don't have a place to put any of these things right now. We're still in the process. So, but we've got them there. So anyway, here's kind of our closing scripture from, Psalms 90 verse 17. Which ask for the Lord to establish the work of our hands for us. We think this is an important scripture, because what it does, it shows that we are depending on God. We want Him to do this for us. We sure can't do it for ourselves. That's the truth. John Bob, I remember this scripture from experiencing God, you know, from Psalms 20 verse 7. You know, some people, they trust in horses and some in chariots. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that's really where it's at. We have to trust in God to do the work. And God has opened the doors and God has provided. And God does that by using people just like you. So we are so thankful. And we want you also to put your trust in God. Well, that's the presentation for this morning. Thank you for paying so much attention so well. And we'll close by offering an invitation. If you want to put your trust in God today, you want to come and become part of God's family by putting on Christ in baptism, that's what we would encourage you to do. If you have any other needs, you can come for prayer, and we'll be glad to pray with you. And let's stand together now and sing.
Blood.